Drinks with Friends podcast. Where every week we bring you stories, experiences, and interesting facts on all things the spirits industry has to offer. So buckle up as we bring you spirits infused with a twist of comedy that leads you to a cocktail called adventure. It's Drink O'Clock. Let's do this.
All right, hey guys, we are back with Drinks with Friends. I'm here with my homegirl,
Kay. Hey, Samantha.
Hey, Kay.
You know, got some allocated shit out to drink tonight, so.
Oh, it's a good night then. I mean, we're drinking tonight. This is Drinks with Friends tonight, and we are drinking. And we have a special guest on the show who is a friend of Drinks with Friends. We've been friends with him for a long time. All of you guys in the Instagram world know him. His name is Lewis, but you may know him as Bourbon Stills and Mill 79. What's up, buddy?
What's up?
With us, this Bud Light commercials from the 2000s.
Oh my
What's up?
You never get.
I remember that.
Well, they do, but we think we're cool. So, okay. So, everyone, we are all drinking together. What are we all drinking? Lewis, what are you drinking tonight?
I am actually drinking the Blue Note Juke Joint. This is the 119th. This is the Bourbon Fines pick. So I'm actually
cool
that right now. Yep.
Lovely. Yep. Kate,
I am. Kate. This is per the advice here of Lewis. I am starting with a slightly lower proof, which we'll explain why. E.H. Taylor small batch. Starting with that tonight.
Oh, you're only starting with E.H. Taylor. Oh, how generous of you to start with something so, like, beneath us.
I mean, I got to
No, it's fine. Listen, E.H. Taylor, it's a good thing to start with. It's not super high proof, which is your jam.
It is my jam. And I'm not a proof snob. I don't want to be one of those people. If it tastes good, it tastes good. But in
exactly.
80 proof, it's still poo-poo.
It's fine. I have to give you a hard time for it, though.
Because Lewis, every time we're like, oh, what are we drinking? Or we did a rye episode, and so I like a bunch of bottles. And all of them, like my sweet spot is in the teens, always. Every time I'm drinking, what are we drinking? I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, that's in the teens, as usual. But go to
It's okay. Listen, I'm only drinking... It's a 90 proof, but I'm drinking Jack Daniel's. It's from 1979, it's a little special. So, yeah, it is. And it still tastes good. It has some cork in it, which adds a little extra texture, but it's delicious.
There you go.
A little cork. Doesn't hurt anybody.
A little piece of tree going down.
Yeah,
it's offline.
It's fine. You can't see. Can you see the chunks in here?
No.
No, it's good. That cork is the real champion. It's lasted since 1979, so
that's
I can't 43, complain.
43 years?
40.
Yeah, it is. 43 years old. It was my dad. So I need to finish this because he wanted me to put his ashes in there once he passed. No, he did. So I am trying to finish this bottle, but I'm like, all right, man, I just...
You're going to have to really dry that bottle really well before you pour those ashes in there, though. I feel like it'll...
Yeah, you know, I will. I'll put them in a bag in there. I don't know, because the bag is clear. I mean, the bottle's clear, but whatever. I'm going to keep drinking it, so it's fine.
The bag.
So, anywho, so I know we're talking about some stupid shit, but listen, Lewis, man. Hey, man, you've been my buddy on Instagram for a few years now. How you doing?
I am good. First off, thank you both for having me on here. I'm good. I'm just living. I'm living. Drinking whiskey, being a dad, and, you know, staying out of trouble and doing the best that I can for the community.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you are definitely, like, a staple in the bourbon Instagram world. Like, you're this there. You have great pics. You're really into cigars. And, like, you're, like, a super real dude. So I want to start because I've known you now for, I don't know, is it 3 years now? 4 years?
Well,
I think.
Well, since 2000 and I would say the end of 2018.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. It's been that long. So that's like 5 years. So almost.
Yep.
So I remember way back in the day, just random chit-chatting, you were just getting into bourbon because you had a friend of yours, a neighbor got you into it. I sent you a bunch of samples.
Yeah, so it was funny because back in the day, like before I started drinking like or any spirits, my drink was 7 and 7. Like I always, I've never been a beer guy, but 7 and 7 was always my go-to. And at the time, my neighbor Brad invited us over. It was like a neighborhood gathering, so we're over at his house. And he is a big bourbon drinker. And I remember we went over there, and he introduced himself, and you know, we started hanging out, and we started talking. And he was like, "Do you want a drink?" And I was like, "Sure." And he was like, "You know, what do you want?" I'm like, "You know," and I when I'm under pressure, I get flustered. So then I was like, "Oh, you know, whatever you're having." So then he brings me a clear glass, and not a Glencairn, just an old fashioned glass, and it's got about 2 fingers of this golden liquid in it. And I'm just like, "Oh man!" I'm like,
"What is this?"
What this was, and I was like, "Well, I can't be that guy." So I was like, "You know what? I gotta try it." And this was the first time ever that I've ever had whiskey like just straight on its own, and like he's like watching me, like, and I'm thinking like my reaction. I'm like, "Oh my god, am I gonna like? Am I gonna like?
Yeah, am I gonna die?"
Yeah, I remember I took that first sip and I was like, "Damn, this is good." And then it went down the palate and went down the throat, and I was just like, "Holy cow! Like this was amazing." So I had, like, "What is that?" And it was Buffalo.
Perfect.
And
nice.
And that was the first whiskey that I had ever tried, and it was the, I would say, not the beginning one that started that. I would say it was the one that piqued my interest in whiskey.
I love hearing everybody's like first time, how they started, got into it, because you don't just start. You don't.
No.
It takes an introduction or like slowly getting there. I was like old fashions into boom. Yeah, I love hearing everyone's like, "How did it begin?" Because as we all know, it begins and then it fucking snowballs. No,
exactly.
Yes. Yes.
100%. It's like the ripple effect. It's just it's over, and it was amazing. And I, you know, I would say I was thankful. And the other thing is too, like when you start it, there's also a history, mm-hmm. and like history from bourbon came his uncle, and it was just, I don't know. It was just caught up in the moment of it. So, and like you said, I agree. I love hearing the history of how people got started and where it began.
Yeah, so, it's early. Like we say, every pour has a story, especially your first pour. And mm-hmm. I think maybe it was Anthony we were talking to about that. It's like every bottle has a story. It was either a recommendation from a good friend, or you hunted it down, you came across it. So it's so cool that when you have such a collection, everything really does have a story, and you remember every single purchase. So it's fun to share those with people, hence drinks with friends.
That's what we do. And I love that Buffalo Trace was your gateway drug.
Yep.
Because I feel like, I think we've talked about this before, that Buffalo Trace, I mean, I know right now people go nuts over it, but a few years ago, you could find it a little bit easier. It's an easy drinker. And it's damn delicious. It's not like some, you know, over-glorified brown water. It actually is damn tasty. So I'm glad that you started with that, because that just like opened your palate to like, oh my God, there's so much bourbon. Mm. And like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
you
started with flavor.
So after that, so you had your first drink with your neighbor, Buffalo Trace, and you're like, boom, I love this. What did you do after that? Did you go buy any bottles? Did you?
How did like the happen?
Yeah. Tell us your journey.
So how it actually began was I had the bottle of Buffalo Trace. So then him and I started to become really good friends. Like we started really good friends. And every time we would go over, he had a nice collection. So, and he till this day is generous. So like I would go there and I would try new stuff. And I remember the Buffalo Trace was the first one that I ever had, but the bottle that had me actually now, I'm like, all right, I have to now figure out what's more into this was Woodford Reserve. When I first tried
that's why
that,
you asked for that on Friday night.
Exactly. And the reason why I Woodford Reserve is that for some reason that Woodford, anything Woodford Reserve opens up my palate juices enough to where I feel that I can have a better grasp and a better knowledge on what I've got coming to me. And that's why I wanted to try it that day. So that was the one that started this. I'm like, all right, now I got to figure this out. So then I started going online and looking up like different types of bourbon. And then I started looking at the history. So then the first bottle that I had ever purchased, that I had ever bought, was Caval. Mm.
Yes, it was Caval.
I bought Caval, and I had bought it because I was giving it to my neighbor as a thank you because of all, like, I would go to his house and he would just share, and I wanted to reciprocate. And this was a bottle that him and I never tried. And at the time, got it. You know, it was I got it at Jewel, and it was at the higher, and it was on the higher shelf. And I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go for it. The bottle design looked cool, and I know you should never judge a bottle by the design, but. But it stuck out.
It is good marketing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is good. It's elegant. It looks fancy. It just looks appealing. Yep. So when I bought it, and I remember we opened it up and we tried it, we were both just like, damn. Like, it was just damn.
So you got hooked. You left the 7 and 7 world, didn't you?
I did.
You left the thug life.
I have not had a 7 and 7 since that first sip of whiskey. And I swear.
And that's what, 5 years ago?
5 years ago. I have not touched a 7 and 7 since.
That's awesome. I feel that though.
Back from 21 to 2018. From when I was 21 years old to 2018. And then ever since then, I have not
touched. And you're done. I feel that. I rarely order an old fashioned anymore. If I'm going to cocktail, I find something really funky on the menu, or maybe I'll do a super dirty gin martini. But otherwise, it's like, if I'm going to drink brown booze, I'm just going to drink it. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the restaurants I go to here, I mean, if they don't have a lot of bourbon, you look, you know, like they have Makers and Bullet. And you're like, all right, well, yeah. Give me an old fashioned. Because I don't really drink those neat.
Yeah.
But like Woodford Reserve, I think I've talked to you about, like, one of my first experiences with Woodford Reserve is the double oaked, which is much more of a punch. So you still like Woodford Reserve. Is that still one of your go-to drinks? Like, if you see it, you're like, dude, I'm ordering it.
If I see it, I'm definitely ordering it. But okay. If it's not where it's hard to find on the menu. But yeah, if I see it, that's mm-hmm. definitely one of my go-to on the menu for sure.
Okay. All right. So what kind of flavor profile do you go to now? Do you find yourself leaning towards rye, towards the high proof, like my girl Kate here? Like, what do you kind of like go to? What do you gravitate towards?
See, I love whatever tastes good. I mean, as long as that's good.
You love it all.
I love it all. But I like to start, I like to go in the area of like 100 to 119 proof. Like, I am.
But I would
say like the one that I love the most is the Toasted series that are coming out now. Anything that has the Toasted series, like Penelope, even Rye 3 has a great like their Castering Toasted series. Like, I just, for those, it's just like, you can have like a fucked up day, right? You can have a day when you get home. You know, Booker's will take it to another level. Stag will take it to another level. But that level, if you're not ready for it, will just knock you out. But it's just something about the Toasted series that, oh man.
It gives you a hug. Toasted gives you a hug.
And that's like the Toasted series. That's my jam right now. That's what I'm going.
Same. To. That's been my like craving. Like, I want to drink a campfire a little bit. And I feel like I get that a little bit of, you know, that extra kind of smoke out of some of those Toasted series, especially like the Penelope Toasted series. I just love that.
It's like s'mores almost. Yeah. Sometimes you get like that creamy, almost marshmallowy vanilla flavor, and you're like, oh my God, this is like, is this dessert? And you're like, no, it's not dessert. It's, like, it's delicious.
Perfect marshmallow that comes out of the fire where it's got that brown crust on it and then just the drape of cinnamon. And it's just like, and it's not too burnt and it's not too sweet. It's just, you know, and
that is my jam. I've been like searching for like my last couple picks I picked up are both. I did a Nulu Toasted, a Buzzard Roost Toasted. I'm just like searching around for toasty toast. So good.
Anything toasted, Barrel? Like, now, I don't remember. I don't know if I sent you. I remember I had a Michter's sour mash toasted barrel. I don't know if I sent that to you, but listen, I had that and it like blew my mind and I can't find it ever since. And that was a couple of years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, please make this readily available.
That is
good. Please. But I mean, so right now, like my toasted barrel that I love is Elijah Craig toasted barrel.
How's it going too? That one is.
I mean, solid. Even like I told you my embarrassing story of my husband buying Basil Hayden's toast. I know Basil Hayden's has its reputation, but the toast, it made a damn good old fashioned for a super expensive like brown water. When my husband bought it, I was like, oh my God, but it made a really good old fashioned. So I'm not going to knock it for an old fashioned. Anything else?
I know when I saw it on the allocated list at one of my local liquor stores that I go to, I was like, seriously. No. And then my like favorite bourbon guy came by. He's like, what are you looking for today? I'm like, are you fucking serious that is on your allocated list? Are you that serious? And he was like, people want it. I'm like, fair. But Lewis, what is your like go-to toasted right now? Oh. I know that's hard. So you can give me like,
he's like,
I know, you can give me like two or three then. Because I can never answer one single.
It is, but I gotta go with the Rye 3 toasted barrel cast strength. I gotta go with that one. Like that one. Oh, like Karthik and what everyone's doing over there over at Rye 3, it's just amazing. And like that one, just I don't know. That one's my go.
Yeah.
It sings to you. It makes you sing, doesn't it? Yeah, you're speechless.
It dance. It makes me do everything, which I will not do on the show.
Dance.
It makes me. Oh, it just brings life out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
Like day, and it's just, you know, you just want nothing but silence, and it's just want that, just that punch that just gets everything back in perspective. I don't know. That's my jam right now. That one's my jam.
I feel that. I love it.
Oh. Yes. Oh man. I feel like you guys right now, especially since it's a little cooler for you guys, because you're both up in the Illinois world. It was
60 degrees today, Sam. It felt like fucking summer.
It was beautiful. Listen,
it was 89 today here in Florida, so I don't really want to
hear. Shut up.
Hey, go Gators. Go Gators. no, listen, I was going to rep. So I am from Connecticut. I was born and raised in Connecticut. I was going to rep my UConn hat today, but I can't find that shit because UConn is going to the championship. So if you guys are watching March Madness, no. You should. Okay, I'm a basketball fanatic. So, yeah, so San Diego State and UConn are playing tomorrow night. That's why we're taping tonight. But I still got love for UConn, even though I'm wearing a Gators hat. Still got love for my UConn, so go Huskies. Got to throw that out there. Sorry. I'm not a massive
sports fan. I only care when, and I know I'm pretty sure my screen is in the way of yours. You're wearing a fucking Cubs hat. I'm a Sox fan.
Oh, man.
So
you're a White Sox fan?
You know what? Listen, I know you're.
I'm going to tell you something. Right, so man. I respect for Sox fans, and I'm going to tell you why. So when I went to my first Sox game, okay, I went to my first Sox game.
You ate a lot, didn't you? Just saying.
Was that?
I said you ate a whole lot better at Sox Park, didn't you?
Okay, yes, but.
What? At Kaczynski or whatever? Comiskey Field?
You are true, but what really like warmed my heart were the fans, and I'm going to tell you why. So they were playing I want to say the Reds.
Yeah.
And I had bought a Cubs hat, and I wore it. I wore it in the stadium.
Brave.
And yeah, I was. And I remember because I was with my wife at the time, a couple of her coworkers. It was like their work function, and they were all surrounded by like loyal diehard Sox fans. And I remember that I cannot at the time remember who hit the home run, but I was just like, yeah. And they were like, the Cubs fan loves the Sox. And it was just people there. Beer, they were giving me shit like, you're a Cubs fan, but did you have fun? And I'm like, I'm having the best time. Like, I felt a lot of love. But when you go to Wrigley, it's different. Like, they're vicious. And I don't know. I have a lot of respect for the fans of the Sox because they are just
we're hardcore. People. It's like we, and I love, it's nice of Cubs fans. They're always like, but I like if the Sox were in the World Series, we would cheer for them. And we're Sox fans are savages. And we're like, fuck the Cubs. I'm cheering for the other fucking team if they're in the World Series. We're savages. Like, y'all.
Is it that cutthroat there, Chicago?
Love, and we do not show you love ever.
It's that. I was happy with Sox won. I felt great. I was because I remember I was working with a flooring company at the time, and we actually were driving into the city for a job.
Yeah.
And flags were flying. Like, it was just, you would think the Bears have won the Super Bowl. Like, it was just, it was amazing. And I was happy. I was so happy for
them. It was fun.
Because I was a Cubs fan, it to me was about Chicago, and it was about bringing life back into the city. That's how I took it.
Right. We all got to the funnest World Series. Huh. My whole family, we're all born and raised Sox fans. And we all just went to my grandparents' house, ordered pizzas, watched every game, like pre-World Series, like watching them like get closer and closer. It was a fun time. That's the only time I had in.
So you Chicago folks, because my husband's from Chicago and I've been up there, and like he's from South Side, but he's a Cubs fan. I'm sorry.
Which is literally very rare. Go ahead.
Well, it is. Okay. So he was a Frank Thomas fan. I mean, we were all Frank Thomas fans back in the
You froze.
Do you guys like Aurelio's or San Fratello's pizza?
Sauce is too sweet for me.
Yeah.
Okay. I just know that because they all talk about Aurelio's. Him and his family all talk about Aurelio's and San Fratello or something like that. Does that make? I don't know. These Chicago folks, they keep talking about these pizzas up there. And when I go have pizza up there, I don't think it's all that great.
You have to the right places. You need to go for, like, there's so, you have to get specific on pizza for me. You either go Italian style, Napolitan style, that's one category. Then you go Midwest, thin crust style. You have to go to,
what about Chicago dish? Deep dish?
I'm a Uno's, Due's, Lumonati's. I don't like Giordano's. Again, it's too sweet, that sauce.
High pain, deep dish, like hands down. Like their crust is phenomenal. Their sauce is phenomenal. Like I'm a loose fan. I am such a loose fan.
Same. But dude, thin crust and has been there for, I'm going to get this wrong, I want to say 100 years. I don't think that long. Over 50 years, maybe longer, is Vito and Nick's. It's at 89th and Pulaski. It's so paper thin. It's been on diners, drives, everything. The best pizza outside of Naples, Italy, I think I've ever had.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
South Side.
Oh, holy cow.
Yeah. And my husband's from the South Side. I'm not. So when we moved to the South Side, I'm like, wait, are we close to that place called Vito and Nick's? He's like, yeah, it's at 89th and Pulaski. It's only like, you know, 20 blocks down. I'm like, we must go. Anyone in Chicago, you got to go to Vito and Nick's, 89th and Pulaski. They haven't changed the decorating since the doors were open. Cash only. The best.
That's awesome.
You got me wanting pizza because, you know, like I'm from Connecticut. So like pizza in like New Haven, Connecticut is like the bomb. It's like pizza from New York. So you get the real thin, you fold it in half. So I know when I went to Chicago and I'm like, what is this like deep dish? What are you putting the sauce on top? Like, what is this stuff? I don't like
it's
it.
Good.
I don't like
it's good. It is good. Like, do it wrong, but it is so good.
I'm sorry, Lewis. We talk about, well, bourbon and pizza kind of go together. Like beer and pizza go together, right?
We're good.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're drinking. So like, I want to ask you, so you're pretty big with the bourbon community on Instagram. You know a lot of folks out there. So let me ask you, like, some of the people that you've made friends with, are you guys doing, like, do you have people who are doing barrel picks? Are you helping out? Like, how are you helping out with, like, the bourbon community right now?
Well, like, so right now, personally, I'm not doing picks personally by myself, but I am doing, I have done.
Right?
With the picks, picks are a lot of work. Because either you have to go out to the distillery or and it's so hard because they're so damn good. But when you try to do a pick, there's so many things to consider. Like number one, like the pricing profile, the yield of the bottle. Can you sell that many bottles? continue? Like, what do you think that you're going to do? And then what happens when you don't sell it? Then you got, you know, it's, there's just so much. So I know, like, when I was part of doing picks, like, it was great because you got to experience all new different types of whiskeys. But at the same token, you got to see the other side, like the business, how that other side works. And,
yeah,
you know, learn that and be a part of that is amazing. But it's not as easy, but, like, you know, you're sipping things. Like, okay, then I, you know, this is the one I want. Like, you got to really think, like, okay, if we're, can we sell 180 bottles? This, you got,
right? Yeah, what appeases to the masses, right? And
it's, you know, it's tough. But I would say the biggest thing I would say that I've always been known for is promoting. Like, everyone and anyone, like, I don't care how big or small that account is, like. And that was for me when I started going on Instagram. I just, people didn't know who I was. I would just start throwing their pics up in their story. And people were like, oh, thank you for doing that. I didn't even ask you to do that. I love what you do. So I would say my part is giving back in the community, always helping people, their friendships with other people in the community by promotion. That's how I've always helped.
You definitely do. You're like the hype man. You are the hype man. You are that friend in our back corner. No matter what, you're like that guy was like hyping you, and you're like, should I be doing this? Like, fuck yeah, do it. I got your back, bro. You really are. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean,
and when you
are definitely there. I mean, people, they know you, they see you, they see your pics, they see what you're posting, and people take note of that.
Even like if you're not doing pics and stuff anymore, and you have a big presence on social media, the beginner, or, you know, kind of beginner people or whatever, are going to reach out to you and ask advice and what do I buy and what do I drink? And even just that is giving back to the bourbon community, whiskey community, introducing new people to different bottles, how to taste, and just kind of spreading the word of whiskey, whatever it is, whether it was a pick of yours or not.
Yeah, it, you know, I would say the greatest question that I love to get is like, Lewis, what do I start with first? And, you know, one thing, and I always tell everyone to do this, start with a lower proof. So I always advise to start with like an Old Forester 80, the 85 proof.
Yeah.
But I love that, because then when they try it, then they're like, you know, what's the next bottle? And then I give them advice. So like being able to, I would say, help anyone start their bourbon journey, and
it's fun. That
it helps. It's fun, it's gratifying. Mm-hmm. And even like kind of the other day when we're at Blue Spirits, you know, like,
yeah,
I got, it was like, hey, like, I really love your account, like, I, you know, you're just real, I love what you're doing. Just I, when I hear that, it's just like holy shit, like, you know, I'm just,
yeah,
I just, I love doing,
yeah,
I love whiskey, and I, you know, I just, I try to help the best way that I can.
Yeah, I love that. It's fun to, like, because, you know, three of us are so passionate about it. So when somebody else is just on the cusp of either wanting to get into it or into it, but not like as deep, it's so fun to be able to like then share that passion and recommend things and see how they liked it. It's just fun connecting with people about a shared passion. Again, it's fun. Like, we were at this Blue Run event Friday night, Sam, with a bunch, yep, of bourbon whiskey people in our community. And, I love the moment when we were trying, I think it was at rye, and everybody started really tossing like tasting notes back and forth. And it's just a bunch of nerdy bourbon people talking about like things they smell and things they taste. And if you're not a bourbon person, it's like, what are these fucking weirdos talking about? But it's so fun. It's like, do you get that spearmint? Do you get this? Do you get that? It's so nerdily fun. Like, only whiskey people would love that. I love that.
It's definitely like when you get the ideas of somebody else and what their problem is, and then when you get it, it's always, it's kind of like open up your favorite sports cards and you get that one card. It's like, holy shit, like, I get that too. And, you know, it's
right.
You're right. It there's definitely something nerdy about it, but it's
love it.
I don't know. It's when you, and that was the first time I had ever been around a whole bunch of people in the community. That was the first event that I had ever gone through since I've started my journey with the bourbon community. And to have open conversations with flavor profiles and like, so what fun. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've been to a few. I feel fortunate that I connected with some other gals. So that was kind of like my, little inn, right? And done a few things like that. You know, we did a bottle share. And it really is fun in the community, tasting the same thing at the same time and talking about it. It just takes your love of bourbon or whiskey or whatever to kind of a different level. It's so much fun to do it in a setting like that. It really is.
Yeah. And the other.
Well, and you have all walks of life who like bourbon, and you have all these different people that come together, and you guys all, we all have the same, you know, the goal, like, let's drink this. Let's, do we like this? What do we like about this? And it's great that we can share. I mean, I feel like people really bond over a good pour of whiskey. I mean, you really do. Because how many memories do you have that are related to different bourbons? You can pick a bottle and you can be like, man, I remember this one time. I mean, it is so fantastic. So now you guys built this memory where you guys met for the first time on Friday. And you guys has built this memory off of this one like brand.
It's so, that's, it's amazing. So fun. It is. But you're
people don't do that over vodka.
Like,
no, you don't have tequila.
Although there is a big tequila like click. I'm pretty sure there's a
tequila starting to come up. Tequila is starting to come up.
It is, but it's not like bourbon where you can sit back, you guys can try some bottles, you can, you know, decipher what the different tasting notes of each one. You can sit back and just relax and be like, yo, man, this one's a great one. And then you just shoot the shit and talk and make friends.
I agree. I love it.
Kind of like.
Look at you guys with your stats.
I'm going for it.
This is why I started with the Taylor, because, you know, it's 130 proof, or what I have in my hand, I've stacked. I believe it's the 19. Hang on.
Okay. What do you? What
I
do you
have batch 18,
Lewis.
I know this is bad.
Do I need to grab mine? I think I have like batch 13.
No,
oh Jesus! Okay, 20. You guys talk about yourselves.
This is batch 22.
You have batch 22. Get the fuck!
Did I just become way cooler?
Way cooler.
So I have to share the story online, because if you guys follow me on Instagram, you saw my little video that I posted. I was just sniffing around at Binny's. It was a very stressful weekend preparing for an event. And on my way to the event, I'm like, I'm going to the fucking liquor store. I got cash burning a hole in my pocket. I need some bourbon. And I'm walking around and I found a bottle that I did want and I had it in my hand. And then I saw a guy with Stag in his hand. And I looked at him, a total complete stranger. I looked at him, I pointed at the bottle. I go, where the fuck did you get that? He goes, it's up at the front. And I literally sprinted to the front of the store. It was their last one, limit one. And I snagged my first Stag. So I wanted to open it tonight with Lewis. And he was like, dude, don't jump into 130 fucking proof. Are you out of your mind? So I started with the Taylor. He's smart, but yeah, this is batch 22, motherfuckers.
And I don't think that you can handle jumping right into it. I'm just saying, start out with, like, get your taste buds going first before you. That's all.
Wish with the.
So what is that proof on the new one? Because mine is batch 14. Mine's 130.
Mine's
130
even, 65% alcohol.
Mine's 131,
65.5. Oh, so I got the big boy then, don't I? Listen, I don't want the big boy, but, you know, someone's got hand.
I'm sniffing it. I'm nosing it. Excuse me.
I'm nosing it.
I smell a 35-year-old baseball mitt.
Now, so when you found that bottle, okay, because I want to go into like a story in a little bit, but when you found that bottle, how did it feel? Like when you grabbed something, like what was the feeling?
So first of all, I have a really good friend who, local by me, he's like my bourbon buddy, Sam. Come on.
I can't help it. It's a little fire. I'm gonna stick my tongue out.
Take your lighter proof whiskey first, swish it around your mouth, like low alcohol.
Listen, I'm handling Got the boy. Continue their story.
I called my friend with the bottle in my hand, like clutching it, like if someone was going to steal it from me or if they thought I was stealing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in a panic, I've never called him. We've only ever texted. He's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, they've got Stag. He's like, where are you? You know what I mean? Like, so I was excited. I called him, bought it, like thanked the guy at the counter. I felt myself, like my heart rate was so elevated. I skipped to my fucking pickup truck, called my husband, absolutely screaming. I skipped. I like, again, like if someone was chasing me, like if I stole it, because it was also MSRP too. So I'm like $56 or I think it was,
which
or
is 60. Rare.
You spent $60 for your stack?
It was MSRP. 60? And it was the last one they had. I called my husband and I'm shitting. And I never call him when he's at home because if he's on like a swing station, he can't answer. So he picks up and he's like, what's up? And I'm like, I don't want to like scream in the microphone, screaming at him. I got Stag. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I got Stag at MSRP. So Lewis, was I excited? I'm still excited. I couldn't wait to like post a video and like put it in my glass shelf. I like moved the Blantons the fuck over so I could put the Stag there.
Listen, okay, I didn't realize you got it for MSRP because like I got my bottle for like 70 and I'm like, okay, that's a good deal. Like, I know why she's saying this.
I know.
When I saw that video, when you posted that, and when you pulled it out, you were like, you know, you had it, and you were like, whoa, and it was just, I was like.
I was like, and then I got this.
It was. Oh. You were showing off, you're like your new baby. It's like, I had a baby, and look at this beautiful thing right here.
The stress level, my stress level was 1,000. And like what happened the night before, what I was walking into for the entire weekend, the stress level was 1,000. And so that really just, I was like, this is my sign that, you know, this weekend is going to be, everything's going to be just fine.
And everything worked out, didn't it?
Sub pump is
it did. All because we have Stag Jr. We're Stag.
Is your Stag party Jr. on it, Sam? They live.
She's got.
Mine does. Yeah,
she's got,
it does.
She's got the batch 13. That's why.
Yeah.
It's batch 14.
They eliminated the Jr. What a year ago, year and a half ago, or something like that.
I think this is from 2020, 2019. Yeah. I got to look back. I mean, so even now, when I first got this bottle, it was too hot. Ooh, I'm like, I can't drink. It's too hot. So I stick my tongue out for the first two sips, but now I can drink it. So now I think my palate has definitely warmed up to it. So I did my lizard. Now I'm good.
Ready?
I'm ready. Cheers. It smells delicious. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys. Mm. Oh, that's a big old sip right there, Lewis. Yeah, yeah. And for all the listeners right now, this is a Sunday night for us, so we all have to work in the morning.
This is my like Friday night. I just worked my 4 days. This is-
well, you
you know what makes this so dangerous is that this
it does not drink that hot.
And
After the first two sips, like, but you get the initial and you're like, woof.
One, it's not and then you take another, like it comes down. Proof,
not even at
is
all.
Dangerous.
That 126 proof American Light whiskey drinks way hotter than this.
Oh.
Way hotter. Wait, this really? Is not. This is easy.
Well, yeah, and I guess, like, you know, Lewis and I talked about the other day, like, Booker's. You can get Booker's, which are, like, 130, 131, 132. That drink's hot.
I remember, I was telling Sam about this the other day, is I remember in, like, it was, like, going in the midst of 2019, my palate was nowhere near what it is. And I'm not saying that I have a really good palate. I'm not saying that.
But it changes. It improves.
But I remember in 2000, it evolves. Again, end of 2018. In 2009, I remember my neighbor got a bottle of Booker's, and it was in a cool, like the cool wooden case with the laptop. He was like, let's try it. And I remember, there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
And I remember when we tried it, I was ready to gag and spit out. I thought I had freaking like rocket fuel. Like it was just so harsh. For him and I were just like, man, this shit, maybe we just bought a bad bottle. This shit ain't right. Like it's just, it's whiskey. It went bad. And now it's one of my favorites. It's so good. And that's the thing about whiskey. That's what it does. That, you know, you try it from the beginning and you don't like it. You wait years later, go back and taste it again, and you find out you love it. And that's one of the things about whiskey and spirits that's just, it's always astounding is that.
And some of them you need to open and let it like breathe a little bit. And then the flavor, have you noticed if you wait a couple weeks, the flavor changes and mellows.
You know, two finger pour and then, you know, you're drinking that night. So you go back to it and you do another little top off. It changes.
Yeah.
It changes. I love that. Yeah. The longer it sits in your glen, I feel like it just changes.
Now, so here's one thing. Like I have a hard time, like during the summertime when it's hot, I have a hard time drinking whiskey in the summertime when it's like the 95 to like 100 degrees. I love whiskey, but when it is that hot,
agreed.
To me, whiskey is just like an enemy of me. Like I can't enjoy it. I cannot.
Well, it heats you up. It heats you up when it's hot outside.
Enjoyable when it's that hot. I love it when it's like spring, when it gets to winter, where it's just like you feel.
Yeah,
there is at some point when it like during the summertime, like there is a point where I still drink it, but I don't drink as much of it because I just enjoy it then.
I change.
Well,
yes.
Flip it.
Or you could go with something light. I do feel like my summertime, don't knock me, but I'll pour a mellow corn because it's so light and sweet. Or the Pinhook, their kind of flagship, the orange one. That one's super light. To me, too, that one is summery to me. Like, I'll wait. I'll leave it up.
No.
So you guys want to drink Stag during the summer?
I will.
You want to drink Stag in July.
AC cranking.
Yes. If I'm inside, that's one thing. But if I'm outside at a party and they're like, hey, we got whiskey, it's like, I can't do it.
Yeah. I'll have a beer.
Well, welcome to Florida. So in about 3 weeks, it's going to start getting miserable. So what I do, I'll either pop an ice cube in it, not because I need to water it down, just because, you know, I don't want a room temperature drink when it's hot out. Or I do like a little mix with it. Club soda. Throw some club soda and lime in there. Boom.
I'll just do it.
Make a highball.
That sounds pretty good.
Well, that's guava juice.
Crazy ingredients. We talked about them last week on cocktails. And
there's a big Spanish community down here. So guava juice, passion fruit juice, mango juice. If you mix that with bourbon, the shit is fire. And so I go swimming and I mix bourbon and like mango juice. I'm fucking sailing all day. I'm like floating in the pool. I got my little floaties on. The kids are fine. I'm like, mama's good. Mama's good. Listen. Living in Florida is tough, man. It's hot and disgusting. So I got to do what I got to do.
It's hot in Chicago. That humidity in the Midwest is a bitch. But you know what?
It is.
Well, humidity is bad there. You come here, this is the swamp. When you have like 95% humidity, but it's not raining, you're just like, fuck me, man. Why do I live here? You see alligators, you're like, why do I live here? You're going to kill me. Yeah, that's cool. Just keep drinking.
The other night when we had our Blue Run event, it was like tornado alarms everywhere. God. And it was 85% humidity, 60 degrees. I'm not shitting you. I was sweating. Louis, the whole time we were sitting there, I kept like dabbing my chest with my shirt because I was sweating.
I remember
so
you
bad.
Were saying you were hot. Like you, it-
I was so hot. Lynn is like, Kate, you're in leather pants and boots. And I'm like, I'm hot.
Oh, you poor baby. Like I said, it was 89 today, so I don't sympathize for you.
To us, it felt like summer, didn't it?
But you know what? When you get a taste of that warm weather out in Chicago, that fucks with you. You know what I'm saying? And then you wake up the next day, and it's 30 degrees out, and it's like, God damn. And
I know. My truck had frost on it this morning.
Yeah.
I was like,
well.
Nah, too many bugs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got a lot of bugs. We got a lot of snakes.
I get snakes. I'm out in the country. We get snakes. No gators, though. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Get lots of them. Thanks. That's okay. Listen, get wrestling gator.
I mean, at least they're slow moving. I feel like.
No, they're fast. Not as fast they as run
snake,
fast.
When I'm weed whacking and I hit a pile of like tall grass and a fucking snakes come flying out of it like at lightning speed, like that freaks me out. If you're my neighbors and you watch me when it's like the day you know I'm gonna be like tossing that weed whacker, like running across the yard, like I'll try and run him over if I see him with a lawnmower. Like,
oh, wow,
you are terrible. Like, there's so many snakes here. I just don't care.
I really don't like snakes. They hide. They come out of nowhere. They're so quick. I'm like. I can't.
So snakes now suburban. That's our next episode. Birthday. Snakes suburban. So we're going to wrestle some snakes.
Yes, you do. Dude, this.
Oh, all you Chicago folks. You guys are all so sweet. You guys Midwesterners. I love you guys.
We cut our pizza into squares.
Yes, we do.
We're cool.
That's really weird. I don't want to talk about that. So, Lewis. Lewis. So, from the time I met you a few years ago, you had a small collection, right? Mm-hmm. So, it has grown substantially since then. We've talked about that. So, what are some staples you have now in your collection? Like, what are things that you have on your bar?
Now, does it matter pricing point? Whatever.
No.
Just like, what do you want to have? I mean, it could be anything. I don't care what's popular. Like, what you're like, man, I like this guy. I'm gonna keep this on my bar.
Like the ones that I need to have that I have to make sure that I have a steady supply on. And I mean, they're hard to find, but E.H. Taylor small batch. Like I got it. That one to me is it. I don't know. There's a lot of memory with that bottle. So for me, I have to have that one. The other one is, and this one's easy to get, but a lot of people don't understand why, is the Old Fitzgerald Prime Bourbon. I always have to have that one. That is, I mean, it's a $15 bottle, but yep, it's the Old Fitzgerald Prime Bourbon. I can show it to you if you want to see. Let's get my collection and we'll see. I'll unplug here. We're going to watch. Right. I hope. We're taking a walk.
Okay, we're taking a walk. We're on a journey.
But now you've asked me about my collection. So my collection has grown because I don't know if you remember, Sam, but at some point I was known as the giveaway
12
king.
Bottles when I first
and
met you.
I started my collection because I would always win giveaways. Yeah. And
bastard. I've never won a giveaway. Yeah. Or like
yeah, I've won a ton. I won to the point where people got pissed off with me and were like, we're tired of you winning. So then I kind of like cut back. But no, that's how my collection started was it was an addiction. I would be up to like 3 a.m. just tagging motherfuckers. And then I would get DMs and people would be like, dude, I woke up to fucking 1700 tags from you. Like, stop. And, you know, and that's what really started my collection. So here's my collection. So if people can see it, right there. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. There's the barrel. I'll get a little closer so people can see. Before. Yeah. But here is the prime bourbon. Oh, where is it? No. All right. So this is the Old Fitzgerald prime bourbon right here.
Yep.
This one is
okay.
I gotta have plenty of it in my house.
That's a staple.
But the one that I must have all the time that I'm a really good fan of is the Early Times Bottled and Bond.
Mm.
Love this one. Love that one. But yeah.
See, I can't get that in Florida. I've heard. Yeah, I've asked.
I actually
can't get
won
that in Florida.
It was funny because I actually won that bottle in a giveaway, and I actually had just opened it. I won it like 3 years ago, and I actually just opened it just a couple of days ago. And because it's just so hard to find, and I'm one of those people where I'm a firmer believer that whiskey needs to be open and drink and shared with all. But when it's like a bottle that's so hard to find, in my mind, I have a hard time opening it because I know if I kill it, I'm never going to find it again.
Yeah. Just let it be maybe at like, you know, half, and then I'll wait. Like if I ever find one again, then I'll like go back to it, but I'll open it for sure and just sip on it. But I won't kill it if I know it's a hard one to find. Same thing.
I'll sip on it. My
American Light Whiskey. I love that bottle. It's halfway and I won't touch it again.
But my all-time favorite staple that I know that I will always have to have and always near and dear to my heart is Blue Run. So I got to have Blue Run in my house. Blue Run to me right now is my favorite bourbon of all time. So that one, when I got my first, Michael Montgomery, when he sent me my first sample, he sent me the 13 year. And
yeah,
I remember when I had tried it, I fell in love with it. I fell in love and I knew that there was something special in that. And when I obtained my first bottle of it, kind of like how you felt with when I found my first bottle of Blue Run, I thought I had won the lottery. Like it was, you know, so that one has always been a staple of mine. Like
that's awesome. I
at least one or two of them.
Blue.
Well, Friday. Go ahead.
I just recently discovered Blue Run. I just recently, a few months ago, I got the, so here where I live in Florida, I went to Total Wine. I don't know if you guys have Total Wine. It's a big store. And okay, so it's a huge liquor store. And I look and I said, oh, there's Blue Run. They had the high rye and the bourbon. So I got the high rye. And I love it. It has the perfect amount of sweetness, the perfect amount of heat. And I remember I posted it in one of my bourbon groups on Facebook. And people are like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, what are you guys saying? I'm like, I would drink that all day over Sazerac, over Angel's Envy for like a rye. It's amazing. Like, I want to dive more into Blue Run. I do, but it's not readily available to where I live here in Florida. Which sucks because talking to Kate and like Lewis, you're in the same area as her. She gets so many different bottles than what I get. It's so crazy how different parts of the country, you can walk in and buy Penelope off the shelf. I have to drive 3 hours to get
Penelope, Starlight, two of my very favorites.
Well, it's like in Ohio, Starlight, but like Weller 107 is huge. Like you can find anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy a gas station and you can buy a bottle Special Reserve, of Weller 107. But out here, it's like if you find one, it's either and it's non-existent. Yeah. So it's always fun. I can get that. Yeah. I can get this. I can get that. It's like, well, I can't get that. And it's like,
That's the one thing I find frustrating on social media where people are like, oh, they get these bottles. I'm like, how did you get that? Because depending on what region of the country you live in, like Smoke Wagon, I've been gifted 2 bottles of Smoke Wagon. I can't get that here in Florida. It's amazing. And it's one of those things you're like, damn, man, like, how can I not get this? Like, I looked for Early Times and my liquor store guy is like, we don't get that here in Florida. I'm like, why? So it's a little bit frustrating how there's certain parts of the country you can get some stuff, but at least we all have a love of what you can get nationwide, which is Stag. I know Lewis, you and I talked about Wild Turkey 101.
That's easily available.
Well, Russell's Reserve 10-year to me is one of the most underrated 10 years you can get. So there's some stuff that you can get everywhere. Like, so what is something for you, Lewis, that is like you think is easily like available for people that they can they need to pick up? Like, what do you see in the shelves that you can find anywhere you go that people should like really take a look at? I don't mean to put you on the spot. But
It's so hard because there's so many good ones out there. But the one that you just had brought up was Smoke Wagon. I think that if anyone's looking to want to start venturing into like a, I would say a deeper flavor profile, but not break their bank and not scared, I would say the smoke wagon, either the small batch or the straight bourbon whiskey, those are just phenomenal. So like when people are like I want to go to a party, I don't want to bring a special bottle, but I want to bring one that'll make a really good impression, I will always recommend the smoke wagon straight bourbon whiskey or the small batch, or I will also recommend the
uncut, unfiltered one.
But it's, I would say, if you're gonna start, in my opinion, of course, but if you're gonna start out in something that's gonna have a heat flavor bomb, I don't want them out on that one first. I would say, like, you know, give it a little bit before you dive into that one. But I would, straight bourbon whiskey, or I would say in another one, I am a huge fan of the 792 full proof. If that, I that one, yeah,
that's, oh, that, that's another yes. one.
So, but yeah, I would say when you said smoke wagon, I would say that's a damn good one.
Same. And I did a little video like a while back about like bottles you would recommend. And I, even for a beginner, it's like, listen, like I would still recommend it because it is flavorful. It looks cool on your bar. Like I love Smoke Wagon. I always will have Smoke Wagon, several different expressions on my bar. Always. I love Smoke Wagon.
He's awesome.
Well, I'm lucky to have two that were gifted to me. So, because I
might have six or seven. But you've got the private black.
What was that?
You have the, is that the, was that the I private have, label?
That was the Johnny Exotic, the private barrel selection. I have that one. I've got.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Can't get that here. Anywhere. I think they release like a couple cases in the United States once a year.
Well,
Louis. Okay,
I can't take any credit for that one. That one was when, when the mayor had passed. It was one of the bottles that I was able to get from him. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so so that's why I have.
Yeah.
So I can't take all the credit that I found that one. That one was gifted. So yes,
I was able to try that at a bottle share. Someone brought it. It was the first thing I tried. I actually messaged Aaron. Cause I was like, I sent him the picture of the particular one that I tried. I'm like, this was fucking unbelievable.
What he does.
Unbelievable.
He's an incredible genius. And you know, everything that he's produced, his expressions, and it's just, they just keep getting better and better. It's like, and again, my opinion, but I don't think that there will ever be a Smoke Wagon release that I will never say that. They've always blown my mind.
Hey, here we are again. This is going to sound choppy when you listen to episode 11, but we're going to cut it off here, guys. We had some technical difficulties all of a sudden.
We drank too much Stag.
I mean, it drinks easy. It's 130 fucking proof. But we're cutting ourselves off, splicing this in. That's why it's going to sound a little weird. But yeah, we wanted to have a formal goodbye. So we had to re-record and here we are. Louis, thank you for joining us tonight.
We love you, Louis. Thank you.
Bourbon and Banter.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you both. I love you both. Love everything that you guys are doing. So thank you for having me. This was fun.
It was fun.
You two Chicago folks really make me happy. So thank you guys for drinking Stag, all of us together. Yes. And Louis, thanks for talking about like your bourbon journey and like how you started and like where you're at now. I mean, it's like a 180, dude.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
No, appreciate it. I just love to help. Love to help people learn and grow. So share my story. You guys is great.
You're the hype man, man. We love you, dude. So remember. Just remember, every pour has a story. And our pours have lots of stories.
They do. And we'll share our next story on our next episode of Drinks with Friends, Bitches.
That's right. Bye, yo.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Drinks with Friends. Make sure to give us a review so others can find the show. And remember, every pour has a story.